I immediately realized I have to pretend renouncement. Then I was, Father, come once a week, and I'm begging, you know, Father, I renounce. I don't go to Unification Church. Please forgive me. Please get out me to from the hospital. You know, I'm begging him.
All right, so I'm Elliot. Hello. I'm the co-host of a podcast that is a multi-faith podcast. And as you know, I met Sam at the International Religious Freedom Summit, and he mentioned that you also had a story about your being kept in captivity in Japan as a result of being a part of the Unification Church. And so I really wanted to get a chance to talk to you about that and just about your experiences being in the church and what you know about the situation in Japan.
Yes.
Would you like to get started just by introducing yourself for the listeners?
Yes. Okay. Thank you. Thank you so much inviting me, Elliot. I'm really happy to hear getting interview. This first time for me to receiving interview from a non-Unification Church podcast. I really kind of appreciate. And so my name is Luke Higuchi. I'm from Japan. I born in 1963. I'm now 61 years old. And then I came to the United States in 1993. And that's 31 years ago, maybe. Yeah, that's what I'm doing now is I'm a like a public mission. I have it's about 1,000 Japanese missionary in Japan in United States. I'm like the president of this Japanese organization in USA in the Family Federation World Peace.
Is that the Kodan?
That's Kodan. That's name Kodan. How do you know Kodan's name?
You mentioned it in your biography, I think, that you were the leader of the Kodan.
Yes.
And so that Kodan is a group of Unification Church missionaries from Japan in the U.S.?
Yes.
And are they primarily reaching out to Japanese people in the United States? Or is it a kind of a national outreach?
Yeah, that's national outreach is kind of, they came young age. Most of people married with American member, getting blessed, and they are staying in the United States. And then we call missionary, but you know, we're not really doing a witnessing or any outreach every time. It's not, this is, we have a reality, you know, we have a life and raise kids. And then all the member who it's not really fully understanding English. Most of Japanese are born and raised in Japan. So we have some language barrier to receive God's word and the Sunday service preach. It's very difficult. We cannot understand well. They come into our soul. You know, by the way, we have organizations to encourage, you know, each other in our own language. So that's why we need a network to communicate each other. So that's our purpose, to keep our faith in our own language in the United States.
Yes. Yeah. Do you encounter people who speak Japanese from a variety of faith backgrounds, or are you mainly ministering to people who are already in the Unification Church?
Already in Unification Church, we joined, most of members joined in Japan. And some of them joined Unification Church here in America, who was in the sightseeing. During the sightseeing, they got the, joined the church.
Mm-hmm.
And then most of Japanese was Buddhist.
Yes.
Yeah. So we converted by myself too. I was still a Buddhist believer from my parents or grandparents. Yeah. Strong religious background in Buddhism.
Can you tell me a little bit about your childhood and how you were introduced to the Unification Church?
Oh, yes. I, as I said, I was my parents' strong Buddhism believer. I raised and in worship ancestor a lot. And then I studied college in philosophy and then specialty study in religions, because I had some like a controversy or why the many different religions existing in this whole world and fight each other. And that's my question, big question in my mind when I was high school. And I really wanted to study to make a different religion into one. That's my wish, my desire that time. Yeah. And I met the Unification Church. Then I listened to the Divine Principle lecture and I converted. I received the true essence of Jesus, the purification, and Jesus' glorification, and what is the meaning, deep meaning of save the world, save myself. You know, that's I got the answer from Reverend Samuel Moon, and I really felt Jesus' heart, how he was difficult time and 2,000 years ago. And then I also had a Holy Spirit experience through his teachings. And then I totally converted from Buddhism to Christianity. Yeah.
So what year was that?
1985, when I was college student.
Converted. Okay, 1985. All right.
Mm-hmm.
Did you actually see Sun Young Moon in person?
Yes, I did a couple of times.
So it's really interesting to me that you had this, you studied all philosophies and religions, and you had this desire to combine everything into one. And so you found the Unification Church, which, as we can see from the name, that's really the whole point.
That's the whole point.
Really wanted to do. And so it was really like right there waiting for you, it sounds like. How did your family react to your conversion? Did you tell them about it right away?
Yes, and first of all, my parents was happy from the beginning, because I really have been searching, striving to find the truth. And my father is very religious. You know, he wish I can find the truth too. And then I really kind of enthusiastically and studying and going to the Unification Church. My father's reaction wasn't so bad, because my father has big heart to accept, embrace, and heart. But one day that he changed. He is maybe he manipulated by the anti-Unification Church organizations, which is a communist backed organized the deprogramming organizations. And his attitude changed. And he kidnapped me and confined in the mental hospital. That was happened to me, you know. I couldn't believe that how he my parents changed.
What year was it when you were kidnapped?
That is at 1989, right after I received blessing, which is a co matched with my wife. It's Korean wife. So that is one of the trigger. My parents decided to kept me in the mental hospital and try to me convert again. So,
So you
making,
were
yeah.
a grown up at the time. You weren't a
I
child.
was 25 years old.
How were they able to confine you in a mental institution? Why were they able to do that without anybody stopping them?
Yeah, they call me one night and they have dinner. Come to my house. And I went back to my home. And my relatives and all the brother-in-law was waiting and they grabbed my hands and put it into the van. And then I drove to the unknown place. And I slept in the van because of a sleeping pill in the my dinner, supper. That's I believe, you know. I slept right away. And then when I wake up and was a solitary confinement in a mental hospital, and then solitary confinement was terrible situations, only bed and the toilet, and the smell and the dark and humid, and yeah, that was so depressed. And yeah, that was a difficult time for me to survive there. Yeah.
So how long were you there?
1 month in the solitary confinement. And then I went to another big room, like a medium mentally illness people. And then that 1 month I stayed there, and another month, little light conditions, mental illness people living together. So that's a totally 3 months I spent in a mental hospital.
Wow. Were there other people in the hospital who had been put there because they were part of the Unification Church?
No, no one.
It was just you?
Only me, yeah.
So what
that time.
happened to you while you were there? Who talked to you? What did they want you to do?
Yes, yeah, my parents put in me to mental hospital without diagnosis, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and one of the maybe his friend is a doctor, and he's a he got maybe doing so legally. I don't know, you know, maybe could be illegal, you know, because I have no chance to see doctor before into the mental hospital. So that's and sometime doctor came to see, just interview me, and then they know the situations. My parents or my father came to see me once a week, and they check on me and how I'm doing. So right away, I have no idea when I can get out from hospital. That is my hardest, you know, things. I could spend in mental hospital forever, you know. So that's I immediately realized I have to pretend the renouncement. Then I was I'm father come once a week, and I'm begging, you know, father, I renounce, I don't go to Unification Church, please forgive me, please get out me to from the hospital, you know. I begging him. So that's only way to get out the mental hospital. It's huge, big wall and surrounding in the hospital, you know, because another crazy guy, anytime they can jump to the wall and go escape anytime, you know.
Right.
So I has to be quiet, be nice to the doctor, has to be nice to my father, and I'm pretending I am wrong. I be good boy for you. I listening to you. Please get out from this hospital. That's a very tough time.
And you said that they also sent in deprogrammers. Is that right?
Yes. The programmer couldn't come to mental hospital to, convince me because of, I don't know, they don't want to, you know. And then, but my father come every week to give me the what's wrong with divine principle. The main is that's all the highlight in the memo on the divine principle. My father getting educated by the programmer, I can see. And then my father never read the Bible. And then there is a many Bible verse to, in the divine principle. The father teach me what he learned from the programmer.
Yeah.
So that's I felt.
So he was using Bible verses to try to convince you that you were wrong, even though he had never studied the Bible himself.
Yeah.
Yeah. Do you know who the deprogrammers were, what church denomination they came from, or where they came from?
Yes, I know. That's I heard after the I back to Japan, and then after a couple of years later, my father accepted me, you know. And my father came to America, and he is find out he was totally manipulated because of I was just a normal life I was spending in America. I have car, I have house, I have job, you know. But he find out, he thought he getting educated from the programmer. I am like a robot, you know. I cannot do anything. I have no freedom. I have to, you know, donate all every money and like a robot of Levan Samyang Moon, you know. That's he educated by the programmer. He saw reality what I'm doing. He totally opened his heart because he realized he was manipulated by the programmers.
That's good. So, have you are you also able to be close with your mother again now?
Yes.
Relationship.
How many relationship getting better because of after that, I went back home in Japan, and then with the kids, they accepted our family. They are, they totally understood, and they talked to me, who is the programmer, how much he went to the programmer's educations, and a couple of different ministers in my Japan hometown area is Osaka, Kobe, Kyoto.
Mm-hmm.
This is organized. Everyone know each other. Everyone helping each other. The programmer has organized. So my father went to a couple of church, met different programmer. They introduce, and they are like, they don't give up on me because of my father is rich. My father has money.
Mm.
And then they maybe getting so much money from my parents. I heard many members approached by the programmer, but they don't have money. The programmer never come back. And then my case, I have to, I get out from mental hospital. I went, escaped, but I came back my home again, and another programmer was hired, and then they are not confined, but they come to see me, try to convert me, deprogram me in like a soft way, because my father knows. And they approach my wife. You have to, if you are deep, renounce, and we my parents will be recognize your couples as a family, and then give more money. But one condition, I and my wife has to go to the headquarters in Japan and getting the press conference to denounce that how they try to use us as a spokesman of Unification Church, denounced the member, So because I was at that time, I was very famous in Japan, among our member, because I was a performer. I was a like I'm dancer before, and then I was a well-known person in the movement in Japan that time. So they knew it, and then they really tried to me to be public to announce my renouncement, making people's this disappointment disappointed. So that's why they had that kind of strategy.
Yeah,
So
so
they,
it
yeah.
would be a big victory for them if they got you to denounce it. How did your time in the mental institution change or affect the way that you thought about your faith and about the unification?
A good question.
Because you had to say that you renounced your faith, but then there was what was going on in your mind. What kind of thoughts were you having, and how did it affect you?
Yeah, that's a situation. The mental hospital, solitary confinement was tough. Because nothing to do else. Can you imagine these only bed and toilet and 24 hours? How you spend time?
No
You
book.
know, I found out that, first of all, if you sleep in the dream, you're free. You can go everywhere. And when you wake up, the reality is nothing to do. So depressed.
Yeah.
But what I'm doing is, I'm making the how to spend the time making the routine, daily routine, exercising. And stretching, push up, roll up, stretch again, they eat lunch. Now I have to do this another routine, stretch, push up, roll up, and then another stretches, and they eat dinner. That kind of like a daily routine make control my emotion. That came from a Levan Samuel Moon, how he spent the time in the jail. And then he is spending time often the forced labor's camp in Funam. He was spending time to sake of others. And his life's style is amazing. All positivities is coming. He never complained. He never accused people. He is with God all the time. He knew he got the energy to sake of others. So I try to like him. So I had a great teach from Levan Samuel Moon. That's why I can survive the situations and to control myself. Mind and body into united into one. That's our teachings. So we can very strong faith because of that.
Wow. Yeah, did you feel as if you were able to experience a little bit of the suffering that Sun Myung Moon experienced with?
Yes.
Yeah, that's incredible. So, were you married then at the time that you came to the US in 1993?
Yes.
And did you meet your wife in the Unification Church?
Yes.
So were you part of the one of the group marriages that they did?
Yes.
What was that like? Was she also from Japan?
She from Korea.
Korea. Okay. And you met for the first time at the ceremony, is that right?
Yeah, correct.
So what
We
was that
cannot believe.
experience?
We cannot believe, but Our faith is like overcome to love enemy. Jesus said clearly, right? How can love enemy? In Japan and Korea is the enemy country, as you know. So historically, so that time in 1988, most of couple was Japanese and Korean matching. 6,500 couples, not all, but most of number. We try match is Japanese and the Korean together. So we got the name, and then went to Korea, and then they gave me the pictures. Who is your spouse? And then we found out, and then we found out each other, and they went to blessing next day. But to be honest, many people say no. Many people didn't receive, they couldn't continue.
Was there something about your wife, something you learned about her or her picture or something like that, that made you decide that you wanted to marry her?
Yes, I'm already the had a kind of not ego, no ego. I can deceive or whoever I what I could. That's my attitude, my faith. Sent we has to build anyway, build a heaven or earth to love enemy, overcome all the difficulties, Anyway, it's all the modern falling love couples divorce a lot, right? So why? Because the beginning is love each other, but they can going to go down to the hill and getting cooler, and then they divorce, right? Very selfish my mindset. And we have a non-selfish mindset. We love each other, sake of other, to grow our love each other day by day, year by year. And then now I'm very grateful. I love my wife so much, different than when I first met. Our love is growing. So I'm very grateful to our Unification Church marriage. Everyone think, oh, mass marriage is weird. It's not weird at all. We are love each other to making effort. We fought a lot. We fought a lot in Japanese and Korean. It's cultural differences. Our food is different. Custom is different. Way to eat, way to do anything. We are opposite. So we fought a lot. But we understanding now each other so much, and we grow each other so much as an individually, as a family. And then I really no regret, and I so grateful to receiving matching and then mass marriage, and then now getting teach by Samuel Moon and Mrs. Moon's that philosophy, and that's my great gratitude.
Wow. So what is your life like now? How many Japanese traditions do you observe and Korean traditions and Japanese food and Korean food? How do you balance all that out?
Yes, sometime most of meal cooked by my wife, most of Korean food, little hot spicy, right? Kimchi, and we I love kimchi, but it's I couldn't no recognize a soup, kimchi soup. What's a chige? We call it chige, right? A different kind of red soup. I couldn't find out which one which. But now I know the taste pretty well. You know, each different broth and different taste. It's very, very nice. I love Korean food now. But sometimes I cook myself in Japanese food for my kids, my wife, you know, and then we balanced. In the instant meal, we have a Japanese Korean meal together. And my daughter, I have two daughters as American, so maybe her taste is a little different too. So we balance well to enjoy the dinner together. Yeah.
How old are your daughters?
My daughter is 29 and 21,
Wow, and
22.
they live nearby.
Yes, elder daughter is living 40 minutes away. She matched with same faith Unitarianist, and then they are getting blessed. We call it a bless, and then they're living in near here, 40 minutes away, and
Great.
then they're doing well. No kids yet, but you know, has dog.
Yep.
Yeah.
So you're ministering to people. You're a pastor, right? A pastor of a
Yes,
church.
I'm pastor, yes.
So what does that job look like for you? What kind of what do you do during the week, and how do you pass to your church?
Oh yes, yeah, good question. And I have about 1,000 member, you know, in United States, 1,000 Japanese member in United States. So I just came back from Las Vegas. We had the Las Vegas Training Center. We have new we oh, I organized the workshop, and then many Japanese leader in their different state came gathered together. We had a conference and to discuss about you know, our future, how to grow, you know, how to love spouses and love our children's, you know, we discuss and we learn, and we also pray and training our life of faith. You know, that's kind of like a workshop I'm organizing, and then yeah, that's most of my job. And also I have a life coach, and yeah, and
Yeah,
then
you have a YouTube channel that has 14,000
oh
subscribers,
yes,
Japanese language one.
oh you research well,
Yes.
that's I about to talk about that.
Yeah, no, please do.
Yes, YouTube in Japanese. Unfortunately, I have a little English version too, but you know, I'm now focusing Japanese member in Japan. We have a 100,000 member, and so I'm approaching them, encouraging them, because the situation in Japan is terrible, difficult. The government prosecuting and the Unitarian Church with mass media. They almost they are asking us to dissolve our religious status. That much bad situations, and the many Japanese member in Japan depressed a lot, and they has no way, no hope. You know? Many people have lost like a way to go directions. So that's I'm encouraging Japanese member by YouTube to talk about faith, love, you know, how to grow ourselves, yeah, our family. So that's my YouTube channel's contents. And then many people love, you know, subscribe me, and then you know, click good button, and then also they comment saying, oh, thank you, I'm so happy, so encouraged. by your channel. Thank you so much. As many comments come to me, and that's make me more like motivated.
Do you think that you wouldn't be able to do that kind of ministry if you were in Japan?
Yes, yeah. I'm now not only in the YouTube, I'm going to go to lecture around the United States now, another state of state in Japanese. And there's many Japanese members in other states. So I go to speech in person and then getting counseling in person, doing coaching in person now. So after, you know, I wish to go to Japan, and then because of many Japanese member and depressing, so I can go, my next step is a speaking tour in Japan.
Oh, that's great. When are you doing that?
I have no, I don't know, but you know.
So you don't have a date for it yet, okay.
Yeah, that's a step by step. So definitely God asked me to, allow to me to do so. That's okay. I believe.
What has it been like in the United States? You're in Georgia, right?
Yes.
So
I have been pastoring Georgia in 2 years. Last two years.
Do you find that the environment is accepting of you?
Well, yeah, good question. You know, how to know? You know, it's Georgia. It's Bible Belt.
Yes.
Many African Americans there, you know, and my former church leader was African American, charismatic, like a, you know, looks like pastor, you know, talk like pastor. He's great leader, but he was like a little old and retired. And then I just graduated that time 3 years ago. I graduated the UTS, meaning Unification Church Theological Seminary. I graduated, and then I have I can be pastor, right? Then they appoint me to go to Georgia, which is a Bible Belt, you know, many African American member there. So I was so struggled, to be honest. Why I'm here? You know? Maybe the congregation was think, oh, the next pastor is Japanese. They doubt it, I think.
So your church but, isn't just Japanese speaking. Your church is a mixed.
Mixed American. That member is American. You know?
What is?
I have to speak in English and give preach in English and give sermon in English every week.
Wow, what is the name of the church?
That's a Unification Church in Atlanta, Georgia.
You know? So you're the pastor of the Unification Church in Atlanta.
Yes.
I didn't know that. Okay.
Yeah, many congregations there too, you know.
Do you have
Japanese too.
Do you have your sermons on the internet?
Oh, yes, I have another recorded sermon in my another channel.
Fantastic. I'm going to look that up.
I will share with you.
That must be so interesting. Do you find that there is some resistance in the area? Are there people who don't like the Unification Church there?
Oh, not now. We are not popular anymore, you know, and the people forget about the Unification Church. I talk, I'm in Unification Church. I met many different religious leaders. I went to Muslim mosque, you know, and then I met many different faith people. And they not really care, but the Unification Church is no longer like a threat, you know?
Yes.
That's why one time we was Levan Samimun become very famous, and you know, and they become very famous. In that time, maybe people didn't like us, but you know, we have no power anymore in the United States. Seems like the people don't care much. Mm-hmm. Oh, Unification Church, you're good, you know. I think so. So that's I visit and communicate with different denomination people, because our dream or our goal is unifications, all different denominations, different churches together, one family under God. That's Lemuel Samuel Moon and Mrs. Moon's dream, which is God's dream. You know what I mean? No fight, no discrimination. That's our goal. So we accept everybody. You know, that's our faith.
So what about Japan? What is concerning you about what's happening in Japan right now, and what do you think is going to happen next?
Yes, Japanese government filed called dissolved religious status, which is very difficult situations, and many mass media and public opinion against Unification Church now. But it's all behind the scene, manipulated by the programmer group, anti-UC lawyers group, which manipulated my parents, same organizations, and then make me the kidnapping confined. Totally 4,300 members in Japan kidnapping confined. One third came back, but two third wasn't came back. That much the historically had the deprogramming Unification Church members by them. So now they reach out to government, and then they made us painted us wrong color. But now many righteousness people find out that the programmer anti-UC lawyers group is communist or socialist people, and they learn to destroy the Unification Church, maybe many different reasons. Some of them is political reason. We are being encountering a communist with a victory of communist organizations. You know, we are fighting against the communist. So they don't like us. They really want to dissolve our church. That their purpose, maybe big political reason to that's persecuting us. So now government and the mass media is being manipulated by communists. A very dangerous situation. If Japan lost the religious freedom, it's very dangerous. The communist, behind the communist is China is there. And then the China tried to invade Taiwan, and China invaded North South Korea, you know, in North Korea, and then making their dream, making the United Asia, you know. So eventually, American U.S. Army kick out if Japan lost, you know, Unification Church in Japan. Yeah,
wow.
Because we have been working so hard to protect religious freedom. Yeah, America is, watch out, has to be really wake up. And what we are Japanese situation, not like a next door things, you know, this is affected you, affected America so much if you lose Japanese religious freedom. So now has to wake up, has to getting united, and unite into one to against the communist and China. You know, there's all the now is a religious war. God or, you know, atheist, communist, non believers. You know, spiritual war. That's going on. So I hope it's a listener in this podcast. I believe many Christians listening, right? The Christian is has to be wake up and has to be protect the our religious freedom in Japan, so you can protect whole world in religious freedom, and then we can believe whatever we want to, you know. So that's a now is very important era time is for us to keep religious freedom.
So, I have a few questions, but I'm curious about the idea of religious freedom. I'm interested in knowing whether you have concerns about religious freedom in the United States as well. Concerns about I know that Sun Myung Moon was very opposed to communism, and do you see communism as being a threat in the United States in its own way?
Oh yes, it's so dangerous. Big liberalism, you know, liberalism, and then you know, like same gender marriage, drug, free sex, and many way it's liberal people, non-believers without God. It's no churches. Many people, even no young people. You know, leave from church, no more believe Jesus. You know, how many youth in the church you can see, you know? We know we're visiting many different Christian church. I know it's all the people there, no youth. Younger people is more like a non-believe. Don't believe it more like a socialist or capitalism. And just making money and be happy, have fun. You know, they lost. They lost the life of purpose of life. They lost to purpose of their own way. You know, just have fun, have a sex, drug, right? And this is a no future for us. Maybe Christian church going to destroy in America because of liberalism, because of the college teachers, professors, they don't believe church, Jesus. There are many people against, right? The old kids not believe religions. That's a very big problem. That's just America. Has to wake up, and Christian has to be awake to educate kids, educate youth, you know, have more high morality, high believers. So that's why we are divine principle, and our Unification Church youth now being educated and standing up and gather together to build a young Christian YCLC, Christian leaders, young Christian leaders organizations. There are many youth pastor, our church leaders, and they work together to build the believers network and they educate youth to be like a righteousness person to protect the religious freedom from communist or liberalism, you know, that's we have been working so hard. Let's work together, Christian. You lost way. That's we are now thinking that
So
way.
you do a lot of work with young people?
Yes.
So for people who maybe were born or certainly have lived most of their lives after Sun Myung Moon died, and they are curious about the Unification Church, but maybe they have listened to podcasts and heard horror stories about it, or maybe they just don't understand how you can believe that someone who died 20 years ago is the Messiah. What do you, how do you answer their questions?
That's a great question. Yes, of course, 2012, Reverend Samuel Moon passed. At that time, we really surprised, and we like very depressed also, to be honest. Our movement became very, very down, because worry about our future, because he's charismatic leader, in himself. So we confused in that moment. But that's a wife of Samuel Moon, Hakjahan Moon, being standing up. And so she's leader, her leadership is amazing now, after now 10, 12 years. Because we found out that Jesus came, Jesus qualification, qualification. I'm sorry. Can you help me that pronunciation?
Sorry, Jesus.
Chris, that's a
Crucifixion
yes,
or
crucifixion.
crucifixion?
Crucifixion.
Okay, yes.
After he died, is he said he come back again, right? And then he is married a lamb. He going to marry after he come back. And this we believe Reverend Samuel Moon, the Messiah, second coming of Messiah. But second coming of Messiah, what he is, his purpose, which is God's purpose. God created Adam, but God created Eve, which means that after that Jesus sent Jesus as a Messiah, and then first coming of Messiah after the 4,000 years of biblical history, and then he was expecting he can save the whole world, but he couldn't marry it. He just give us the spiritually saved, and then and because 2,000 years Christian being waiting the second coming of Messiah, and then Reverend Samuel Moon say, I'm Messiah, second coming of Jesus, everyone against, everyone has persecuting him. So now is Reverend Mrs. Moon, he's saying she is first coming of begotten daughter. Can you believe it? Where they come from? First coming of begotten daughter,
Daughter.
Jesus begotten son. And he came. Second coming of Messiah, Reverend Samuel Moon, married with begotten daughters. And become true parents. The true parents save the world as the parents of humankind. Because God is heavenly parents. That's the secret of this humanity in the history. No one say that, but now the victory of true parents. And second coming Messiah is a spiritual world, but first coming of the begotten daughter on the earth work together with the whole many different religions, different denominations, starting to gather together, united into one now and in the whole world now. Mass media didn't talk about that because of mass media being communist influenced. So that's why now all Christian peoples, this listener, check out who is Mrs. Moon, Hakjaha Moon, who she is. Check out. There is a her autobiography is published, and please, Mother of Peace. Search Mother of Peace in the Amazon. There's a book, her autobiography. Read it. She is the being waiting long time and begotten daughter.
So, what will happen to the Unification Church after she dies?
That's how we are preparing well.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's because of the first, we didn't expect it that Lehman Sammy Moon died that quickly, because we believe Messiah, he going to live longer, until 100 years old. You know, that was our belief. He went spiritually without any preparation. That's why we confused. But Hak-ja Moon standing up, and her leadership is great. We are now very happy to follow her, and now growing our church for worldwide much more than before. And then now it's many spiritual grace, and then many miracles happen, and then many like Jesus cured the blind, and then people that cure many diseases. That is happening in now among our Unification Church. So much miracle happening because of spiritually liberations now going on, and the Pentecost is happening, and then we have spiritual transformed people a lot. So now we are reviving into Unification Church. I really want to Christian Church understanding this who is begotten daughter, and how the connect with the spiritual world and the earthly world. We have to really have to work together to build heaven on earth and the heaven on heaven. Many people went to that hell and can be liberated by the true parents and by the begotten daughter. There is a way. We are now ready. Whenever Hak-ja Moon went to spiritual world, the system, and then all the organized the spiritual realm to how to save the world. That we are now ready. So if you want to know more detail, please search our positive article. So many negative articles. But you really want to know that we have to come to ask the member of Unification Church near you.
So you have this interesting belief that a lot of people have gone to hell, but that they don't have to stay there, that they can be liberated from.
Yes, we can liberate. We can liberate.
How is someone liberated from hell?
Mm-hmm.
How does someone get liberated from hell?
Oh,
And
that's
is
a good
there
question.
anybody who can't be liberated from hell?
Yes, we are the daily life. We have so much getting the bad things happen, and then many people to accuse you or hurt you, and then against you, and then many many people attacking you. That's we think it's all the spiritual world is all the ancestors or spirit, evil spirit approaching. They came to you, but they are only way to do to liberate and saved. Therefore, earthly person who has a body in the person, we have to forgive, we have to love those evil spirit. It's making me to give a resentment. We have to embrace them on the earth, and they liberate. And then they go to, because of they have an evil spirit, became receiving love from earthly people, through earthly people, they resentment going to melt, going to be grateful, and then they're going to be upper level of spirit. That's our teachings. Very similar in Buddhism. The Unification Church teaches it's very mixed Christian and Buddhism, and then we are very appreciate grateful as a Japanese Buddhist background people. Unification Church very fit.
The way you're describing it to me, it sounds as if you're saying that for people who are in hell, it is their resentment that makes it hell.
Yes.
Is that what you're saying?
Yes.
Very, that's a very beautiful idea, and that's our forgiveness that breaks them out of that hell.
That's right.
Oh, the way you're saying that, I really appreciate it. And I really appreciate that you have taken the time to tell us about your life and about what you do. And I'm looking forward to sharing your story and some of your resources with a broader group of listeners.
Okay, great. Yeah, I'm very happy to talk this kind of detailed things in English in the first time. No one asked to me in
Yes.
English. I don't know, maybe wrong terminology. Maybe I have a little difficult to, difficult to express my mind and the heart. But I'm very grateful you accept very wisely. And thank you so much.
I think you did a great job, and I hope
Okay.
that maybe we can get a chance to talk again about some more theology and that sort of thing, because I find it very interesting. And again, thank you very much for
Okay,
taking.
thank you, Elliot. Thank you so much.